In the beginning, there was darkness, a void waiting to be filled with the echoes of destiny. From the depths of time, legends emerged. Heroes forged in the fires of adversity, their stories etched in the fabric of eternity. Through the sands of ancient deserts, across the vast expanse of galaxies, and amidst the tumultuous waves of the ocean, their journeys began. But amidst the chaos, there arose a whisper, a call to action, a beacon of hope. Now, as the world holds its breath, a new tale unfolds, a story of courage, of triumph against all odds. Join us as we delve into the depths of imagination, as we embark on a journey beyond the realms of possibility. For in every tale lies a lesson, in every legend, a truth waiting to be discovered. This is not just a podcast. This is an odyssey, a quest for knowledge, a quest for inspiration, a quest for the very essence of what it means to be human. Welcome, dear listeners, to a world of infinite possibilities. Welcome, dear listeners, to the True Life Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope your day is going beautiful. I hope that the birds are singing and the sun is shining and the wind is at your back. I got a great show for you today. Ladies and gentlemen, esteemed guests and fellow seekers of knowledge and transformation, it is with great honor and enthusiasm that I introduce you to a visionary pioneer in the realm of consciousness exploration and healing, Malika. For over a decade, she has traversed the realms of the mind and spirit, guided by an unwavering belief in the transformative power of psychedelics. With each journey into the depths of consciousness, she has discovered profound insights into the human psyche and its capacity for evolution. Fueled by a profound sense of gratitude towards the sacred gifts of plant medicine, Malika has embarked on a mission to share her wisdom with the world. As the founder of Psilocybin San Francisco, she has cultivated an educational oasis, a sanctuary where knowledge flows freely and harm reduction is paramount. Through her tireless efforts, she illuminates the path towards responsible and intentional psychedelic use, nurturing a community of seekers dedicated to personal growth and healing. Her journey is not merely one of experiential exploration, but also of scholarly pursuit. Armed with a master's of science in psychology from the United Kingdom, with a specialization in psilocybin, she seamlessly weaves together empirical research and firsthand experience, bridging the gap between theory and practice. But her brilliance extends beyond the realm of psychedelics. With a wealth of experience as an event manager, including a remarkable company exit and a distinguished tenure as a TED licensee, she embodies the spirit of innovation and leadership. Her passion for bringing people together transcends cultural and linguistic boundaries, as evidenced by her volunteer work across more than 70 countries and her fluency in 5 languages. Today, nestled in the vibrant tapestry of San Francisco, she continues her quest for understanding, delving deeper into the mysteries of psychedelics and their profound implications for personal growth and healing. As we embark on this journey of exploration and discovery, let us open our hearts and minds to the infinite possibilities that await us. Thank you so much for being here, Malika. I hope I'm saying your name right. Is that the right way to say it?
Actually, you pronounce it Militza, but I'm used to in the U.S. It's Melissa Militia. Whatever it is, it's fine. It's just a name. You will meet the core of me soon. Yeah, not through my name only. First of all, I want to say thank you for having me, and I'm very honored to be on your podcast. And hello to everybody who is listening. I know you have like 30,000 followers on YouTube, and that's just astonishing.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I think that when we talk about the topic of astonishing, psychedelics come to mind and helping people and their transformative journey comes to mind. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what was it that kind of brought you to this crossroads of psychedelics and consciousness?
Well, I was a stupid teenager. that's how it happened.
And, nice.
I wanted to try anything that is new, that was making me exit my boredom. And that's how I tried mushrooms for the first time. Of course, I didn't know anything about harm reduction. I didn't even understand that harm reduction is needed and education is needed before you try. Yeah, I did recreationally, I did it for fun. And I had a few stupid moves along the way, but eventually I learned. Now, like 10 plus years into my psychedelic usage, I understand the importance of education before anything and harm reduction. That's why I even started Psilocybin SF, to educate people. So it started as a seek for exiting the tool to exit the boredom, but then it turned into a tool for consciousness evolution. And that is what I use it for today. I use it for consciousness exploration and to spread my limitations and boundaries of my subconsciousness and consciousness and all that is.
It's a wonderful beginning. I think so many people have found themselves in that same particular avenue. And it kind of, sometimes you'll hear the phrase, it's all medicinal. When we look at the ways in which we used it recreational as kids, in some ways that was our first, you know, pulling back from the veil and getting to see different points of view. And in some ways it's your introduction to philosophy when you get to maybe on a recreational journey with some friends staring up at the stars and listening to some music. All of a sudden you have all these thoughts that just come pouring into you on some level, right?
Yes, and I actually believe that all philosophers used some kind of psychedelics in order to allow their thoughts to move so freely. Maybe not them all, but most of them, some kind of opioids for sure, some mind-altering substances, just for them to, not only them, but like artists, like many visionaries in the past have used psychedelics, even though it's not well known and it's not well put in scripts, but we know that it's what happened. Even animals, you know, they would use psychedelic mushrooms just for fun. There is a research shown that reindeers in the north of Europe, they would eat psychedelics. They would specifically look for them and eat them, like psychedelic mushrooms. So if animals did it, we sure did it intentionally.
Yeah, you can see from some of the cave paintings too, the way in which the artistry is done in different caves in south of France. And it's just amazing to me to see the similarities between philosophy and harm reduction. You know what I mean by that? Like sometimes in the state of a psychedelic journey, you begin having these philosophical ideas about why your life is the way it is. And a lot of times that can lead to a change in perspective that can be healing. It can lead to a change in a relationship that is unhealthy, whether with yourself or with other people. And I think that kind of speaks to this idea of spirituality, philosophy, and healing and science together. What do you think?
Oh, let me
pack that one.
You packed it. I need to unpack it in my mind. Wait, it's very early. It's like here now, 11. That's, I'm still trying to make my mind roll. Can you please repeat the question before again? I need some time.
Yeah. So it seems to me that the same way that psychedelics bring us to philosophical thought, make us ask these questions, why?
Yeah.
It seems that same philosophical thought, that questioning of why, that psychedelic induced philosophy is what also leads us down the road to healing.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's all intertwined, right?
Yeah.
You cannot take away one from another. And it's not exclusively, it's one part of the puzzle, you know. Yeah. Those kind of thoughts, they arise, and I think if we cling on to them and if we pull it as a thread, we will eventually come to what Jung calls the complex in our subconsciousness. And if we pull onto a thread, like a thought, and then philosophy around that thought, and then you come to something greater within yourself. And that's where the healing happens, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. Something very fascinating that I find, and I want to get your opinion on, is for someone who speaks so many languages, and when we look at the way language is formed, how it takes sort of a linguistic pathway for us to really do anything or for us to make sense of the world, sometimes we need the linguistic pathway to say it either in our minds or out loud. For someone like yourself that speaks five different languages, do you think that that allows you to see the world through like five different lenses? Because sometimes you conjugate verbs different in different languages and you have all these different cultural aspects. I think that gives you a really unique or maybe a more holistic approach of what's happening in the world. What do you think?
Yes, for sure. That's why I actually started learning languages. I mean, first of all, I started it because it comes naturally to me. That's like the first thing. And then the second thing, I want to understand these people to the fullest extent that I can. So I traveled a lot. And when I would travel to Spanish-speaking areas, even though they speak English over wherever I was traveling, I would find people who speak English, but it was not enough. I felt that I was missing a link. And then I started to learn languages. And the more I spoke Spanish, the more they would accept me. And the more you can understand them. So I'm a different personality on each of my languages. If I were to start speak in Italian, parliamo in italiano, allora, I would be, my sound of my voice even changes. So I think for sure, talking another language requires you to have, so for me, it's five different compartments, like separate. And these separate compartments in my mind space, they create entities for themselves. They create personalities, as I said, and different viewpoints. For example, if I were to speak on my native Serbian language, I would see the world differently. Sometimes I even have different values. Mm-hmm. If I were to speak in Spanish, I would feel more relaxed, and I would feel like, okay, why are we even working? Like, siesta comes in play. Even though in English, I'm like, let's work. There's no siesta, you know. I'm just giving an example, but yeah, for sure, it gives you access to different cultures in a way that enriches your personality, enriches who you are, and it gives you perspective to the nuances of social existence, humanity.
I love that. That's the first time I've asked that question to multiple people, and that's the first time I received an answer like that too. Be able to take on like the societal role by speaking the language. It sounds like, yeah, that should be. Now let me ask a follow-up question with that. Do you think about psychedelics differently? Like if you take on different personas when you speak different languages, do you take on the societal attitudes towards psychedelics when you shift yourself in those different languages or the way you talk about them in different languages?
Well, no, because psychedelics transcend language. Psychedelics, when you take psychedelics, I don't speak language. I speak energy. I speak frequency. That is my sixth language, I would say. I'm going to start saying that I speak six languages from now on.
I love it.
Because that's it. That's the language I speak when I take a mind-altering substance and I go beyond my body. I go into space-time around me and I meet some other entities. I would talk to them with frequency, with telepathy. Language doesn't exist over there.
Yeah.
So no, to answer your question, no, languages don't influence my attitude towards psychedelics.
The idea of, I know languages, sometimes in the world of psychedelics, we bump up against the ineffable, and perhaps language is a poor description of the way we can communicate in altered states of awareness. But it does seem like if I'm permitted to use that word language for a moment, on like on a really high dose psilocybin trip or psychedelic state, it does seem like frequency communicating is the thing. Like, you can look at a plant and begin to understand that, wow, this particular plant grows a third of the way up the tree and it puts out a flower at 47 degrees on Tuesday, January 7th at 2:33 p.m. Like, it knows how to do it. And like, you're seeing that language in real time, be it frequency or language. Or maybe you could speak a little bit more to this idea of understanding frequency and language and communication of these altered states.
I mean, I can tell you about how I perceive things.
Yeah, please.
But as we all know, this is only my perception, and we still to this day don't understand many of these altered states of awareness, as you said. So the thing is, for me, being on a altered state of consciousness induced by psychedelics, it's the one and only, the ultimate language, for the lack of better words, the ultimate means of communication. That's better explanation, because when you communicate in that state, I could communicate with anybody, with you, with people who don't even speak my language, with animals. So there is no limitations to with whom you can communicate or with what. It's just a matter of a dosage.
Yeah.
And the thing is, let me just formulate my thoughts. The thing is, our body currently in this state is limited to voice, hearing. I hear you, something I need to process with my mind space. I need to formulate as I just demonstrated. I need to formulate it, and then I need to speak. It's a very complicated process. But when I'm out there on this in the altered state of consciousness, I just need to do the following. Just send out the frequency. I don't even need to formulate it. I don't need to think about it. It's just there. Something is there in my mind space. I just send it out like a click. It's sent. And this person receives it instantly. Click, it's there. So it's a very easy way of communicating. And I believe that animals and plants, and they all can receive this messages that we send them, and they send us, as you mentioned, communicating with the plants as well. I think they can perceive it in their own way as well. So we are not separate from our environment, and us being able to communicate like this telepathically means that that's the ultimate proof that we are not separate from our environment. There is this endless wave of energy around us, and there is this field that connects us all, and we are just currently limited to accessing that field consciously, even though we are accessing it all the time. But consciously, I cannot send you now message without Zoom with my mind. Maybe one day we are going towards that, evolving to be able to do that and to unlock that part of ourselves to be mentally capable of, okay, I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to send a message to a specific person, and they will receive it without Neuralink or without any of these things. And actually, this has been proven by physics, you know, the double split effect. Do you know about that miracle?
Like Schrodinger's cat, yeah.
Yeah, so the double split effect, for those of you who don't know, please Google it and research it. It is the thing that keeps me up at night, because that's where spirituality and physics, quantum physics, they cross paths. And that's one point of where they meet. And we know that now. So the thing is, so I speak five languages, and sometimes it's hard to pull words. So yeah.
It's perfect.
Anyways, they created a wall, and there was like a two doors, and they were shooting photons, like one photon through first one door, then the second door. And they were observing this photon. And the photon would always go through either one door or the second door, or like first or the second door. And then they said, okay, let us remove the camera, the observer. Let us remove the camera. When they remove the camera, the photon, they shoot it once, the photon goes through both doors. Every time when they remove the camera, photon goes through both doors. And they could, you will see online how they understood that it go through both, but it did. And the thing is, this proves that photon was a particle when we observe it consciously. And when we don't observe it consciously, it's a wave. It's a wave. So we, as me, you, everything around us, it's a particle because we observe it and perceive it consciously. But then there is a question: if there is no conscious observer, would everything around us be a wave? Just a wave of energy floating and probability, wave of probability existence. So that's what we on psychedelic journeys talk about all the time. Everything is, we are one with everything. And we are not separate from our environment. This is what we mean. It's the same thing, just explained in a different way.
I love it. As you're explaining it, and you did a wonderful job at it, as you're explaining it, it makes me feel in sort of this lower frequency and vibration of day-to-day monotony. You know, a lot of us have been conditioned to see the world in a certain way and act as a certain label. You are a truck driver, you are a teacher. You know, when you act as this individual labor of which you're observed doing work, you're the particle. But when you find yourself in a moment of philosophical bliss, or a moment of love, or a moment of truth, or you witness a miracle, like seeing your daughter building a Lego set, or you're with your beautiful other and you wake up and you're happy, all of a sudden you're in the wave form. And I'm curious. I'm hopeful that we're evolving into an understanding of that we can change between both. Is that, I'm hopeful. Do you think that that's maybe where we're moving towards, this conscious understanding we're both?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's where, I mean, it will take us, I think, a couple thousands of years for sure. thousands and thousands, but we are moving there, you know. But when you look at it on a grander scale of time, mm-hmm. that's nothing. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Even though it takes like thousands and thousands of years, it's fine. It's important we get there, because that will give us unlimited access to one another and understand each other in a different perspective. If we don't kill each other with this war situation that we are currently doing, and that is another thing that I really cannot understand, and trying to, why are people doing this to one another? And anyways, that's a different topic.
Yeah, maybe psychedelics is the answer to that topic. You know, there has been some interesting experiments where they had a gentleman from Israel and a gentleman from Palestine. They took some MDMA and, you know, it didn't solve everything, but it definitely helped the two come together on some mutual understandings. And I know that people say psychedelics aren't a panacea, but on some level, I think that they're a step in the right direction. You know, when people begin to see themselves as more than the particle, as more than a man or a woman, as more than, then it's a lot easier to get out of that scarcity mindset, right? And scarcity seems to be a big problem for us when we get there.
We're monkeys.
We are.
That's why, you know, because we are afraid somebody will take our land, our food. Yep. You know, I will be hungry. Those things, they scare a monkey and they scare us. Even though we are wrapped in a human suit and like having these fancy clothes, we are still monkey to the core. We are an animal. And if we are hungry, God forbid, what can we do? You know, just not be hungry anymore. And the thing is, you said, you mentioned about psychedelics, and I believe, and the involving psychedelics in these war situations, and I believe it's a tool. Psychedelics is a tool. It's not a solution for sure. That's what I came to understand. Because I've met so many people who do psychedelics and they still to this day haven't solved these basic things like ego. So they haven't met their ego. They are allowing ego to take place, and they are doing things for all the wrong reasons, even though they do psychedelics regularly. So psychedelics are the tool. Preparation and integration is a part of this greater solution. So integration is the tool as well, preparation, all these things. And because eventually when you take psychedelics, it will wear off after a while. Yeah, yeah, they may be friends, Palestinian and Israeli guy, maybe friends currently when they are under chemically induced state. But after a while, if they just continue with their own lives in their own environment, maybe they're going to be polluted again. So it's a tool and it can help, but it takes time and it takes a lot of work.
A lot of work. It sort of reminds me, like our behaviors in the real world sort of remind me of some of the neurofeedback you get about neuroplasticity. On psychedelics, you can see that perhaps the default mode network is shut down, and then the brain is creating these new pathways for thought. So too is that similar, at least in my humble opinion, that when you're building a new relationship with a new friend for the first time, it's a lot like processing information in a new part of the brain. Like, you don't know how it's going to act. You don't know how this person's going to do, but you do begin to see that person in a new way. And it seems to me that, you know, large doses or probably even some micro doses over a long period of time, but the neuroplasticity seems to echo the behavior of us in real life. You know, it's, what's your take on, is that too far out there, or what do you think?
I haven't formed an opinion regarding that, but now when I think about it, I mean, neuroplasticity happens because of our behavior. It's not like mimicking. It's like it's happening because it's a causal relationship. Mm-hmm. So the more that we involve ourselves in life, in different life circumstances, the more neuroplasticity will happen. And that is why actually psychedelics help with neuroplasticity so much, among other things, is because in 8 hours, if you take LSD, yeah, or five, if you when you take psilocybin, it will give you so much input, so much new perspectives that neuroplasticity can happen. So yeah, if you actually mimic your psychedelic experience into your real life, go out there, meet new people, see things from a different angle, take a different path to way home. If you try to induce different ways of living, even to the micro situations, neuroplasticity will happen. And it's connected. It's like not mimicking, but it's connected for sure.
Yeah, it's fascinating to think of. And it gives me a lot of hope to think about the way in which you can be granted, or sometimes I had a recent dose where I had some really fantastic insights in my mind. And it seems to me that the answers to problems are not so much learned behavior as they are revealed to us. And it gets back to this idea of language or resonance or frequency that we see in the world. Maybe we just see this frequency for the first time, but it seems like the answers, probably in relationships and probably even mathematical and in problems that we have in society, are revealed to us when we're at these altered states of awareness. Instead of going to school and learning from somebody, it seems like the big questions are often revealed to us, at least in my opinion. What's your take on that?
But psychedelic trip is also some kind of a speed up school, speed up lesson.
Yeah, well said.
It's not like that, that we go there and, I mean, because also in the school, they reveal things to us if you're a child. And if you go to school, you don't know how to multiply, and they reveal the multiplying to you. You know, it's like from a child's perspective, because child didn't know it existed. So it goes to school, it's revealed to the child. So that's, we are the children here when it comes to psychedelics. We go there, like we go to school, and they reveal something to us. Maybe there are some species out there that already have this knowledge as a part of themselves. Maybe when we go to psychedelic states, we are the children and they're grown-ups in these states already somewhere out there, you know? So the thing is, what I wanted to convey here is maybe everything. So there are so many possibilities. We don't even know what psychedelic is, and we are now blabbering about things. But the first thing is we could co-create. If we are the only conscious beings ever existed, which is not likely, but like if we are, then we are co-creating this with our environment. That's first thing. Second thing is, if we are not the only one and there are others, and we can communicate with them through some infinite environment energy network, what if they are more advanced than us and they're showing us things through psychedelics? So there are many, many possibilities. I cannot even fathom, you know, even to this day, actually, when I take psychedelics and I'm having a psychedelic trip, I wonder, is this all in my head? Is this all a movie that I watch in my head, or is this really happening? Even though I'm, of course, opponent to this is happening, this is the most real I have felt in my life. And if you were to ask me, I would say, yeah, this is happening. But in order to stay objective and to approach things with critique, with a critique point of view as well, I must ask a question: is it all a movie? Is it all like a is it all a projection of our experience to this day? And is it all is it only that we can access some kind of collective subconsciousness, and we are just taking stuff from there, and we are seeing, and then we think it's a part of us? I don't know. It's nobody wrote manual on how to be a human and how to use the brain. So it's very thought provoking.
It is
to talk about these things. Yeah,
and it, you know, sometimes maybe you have experienced this, where under heightened states of awareness, or like a really large dose of psilocybin for me, maybe like 10 grams, there's this time slicing that happens where I can see my life play out through multiple lifetimes. And when something like that happens, it's like you get a glimpse of what could be possible. Like, yeah, here's the movie and here's where it could have gone. And then you get to play out that entire lifetime in about an hour, or what feels like a wave of time that flows by you, and you're living five different lifetimes. And then it subsides again, and you're like, did that just happen? Which one am I in right now? Did I cross over to a different one? And you know, it makes me get back to this idea of the earth being a school, and these particular types of, you know, things being almost like an exogenous neurotransmitters. Like, maybe the earth is providing us with the nutrients we need to evolve on some level. Have you felt that time slicing before? What's your take
on
it?
Of course, of course. I think many of us who delve in high doses been there. It's weird. First of all, of those of you who haven't experienced that, I can say, like, it's weird, because you can see yourself with a different family.
Yes. Like,
at the time when I experienced that, I saw myself having children one of them, I was even a lesbian. In another one, I was being a janitor, you know, like in another one, another friend mentioned, oh, I was a turtle in a war, you know, like, what the heck? What are those what are those things? How can I experience the whole lifetime in an hour?
Yeah.
And I see it happening, like from me being a child, mm-hmm. and going to school, and then it messes up with your reality to the extent where you cannot shake off once you are once the trip wears off, you cannot shake off these other lives because you were a part of them. You were emotionally invested. It's so weird, and I don't even understand. If I were to come back to the to my question, is it a movie or is it something that we really live through? It's whatever it is, it stays with you. You know, it's an imprint on your personality in this life, because you cannot forget it. You cannot now it's shaping you for sure. Knowing all these things and. It's wild.
It is wild. It's so amazing. I really enjoy talking about it and learning about it and experiencing it and getting to bounce ideas off other people in similar situations. But I know that you've got a whole world of business that you're doing with BizDelix in San Francisco and you're touring and stuff. Yeah. Maybe we can get into some of this stuff about what you've got going on and what you've created in this particular environment.
So as we started to talk about harm reduction, this is the one thing I really wanted to give back to the medicine. And this is the one thing I felt called to doing some kind of work with mushrooms and helping people understand, specifically general public, what is the preparation, how to navigate the trip, how to integrate the trip. To provide some kind of resources, and I came up with Psilocybin San Francisco, that is an organization that provides education regarding, as I said, psilocybin use and harm reduction through conferences, courses, a wealth of free materials through our social media, through our newsletter. And every time I take mushrooms, after I started it, I have this moment or several moments where mushrooms come and they talk to me and say thank you every single time for doing it. And that's how you know you are on the right path, you know, because the medicine is supporting you and they encourage you to continue. That can be, getting back to my question about is it a movie or not, that can be my imagination just telling me that I'm where I need to be and I should continue, and it's giving me my subconsciousness is motivating me to continue by doing that, but it can be the mushroom as well. I cannot say that it's not, because I feel as if I'm talking to entity of mushroom that I'm taking. So that's one thing. And the second thing I'm working on is BizDelix. So the first thing is for general public. The second thing is for the psychedelic industry specifically. BizDelix provides resources for the industry, and I started by creating a list, psychedelic ecosystem list, now currently has 500 entries, but this month will become 3,000 entries from the psychedelic space because of generosity of this community that we are a part of. And they all donated the databases to me, and now I've processed the data and I'm about to publish. It's going to be a 3,000 list. If you want to understand who are the players, who to contact for what, just go to peacedelix.com, and it's a free resource for everybody to use. And the second thing is, because when I created the list, it provided value, people reacted, it's all great, but then the list was dry, there was only names, so I decided to showcase people who are moving this industry forward. Who are these people? I wanted to showcase it to everybody and say, look, if they could do it, you can come. Let's all create this beautiful movement and industry to become soon, together.
Yeah, it's in some ways, it seems like the human mycelium, right? Like people are growing together the same way that the mycelium under the ground grows together. And then it produces fruit at this conference, or it produces fruit in this PTSD, or in this thing over here. It's so amazing in its similarities, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it is. And I will continue to talk about mycelium and all that. I just need to tell you about one thing that
please
that just came to my mind. So I wanted to share that because I interviewed so many people from the psychedelic space, and every time we talk about what they did before this industry, they would, or I, or together, we would refer to is as in my past life.
So
the thing is, people who are in the psychedelic space, they are here to stay. This is their new life. It's not a new job. It's not like something that they're going to do now and then after a few years. It's like their new life. They're born again into this life and being in the psychedelic industry. And it's a calling. And not everybody can be here for money only, because somehow the medicine and the intricate web of energy and psychedelic realm will kick you off. You know, you need to be here for the purpose. So that's what I wanted to share. And regarding mycelium, so Bizdelics it was referred, and me personally, as the mycelium of the psychedelic space. And that's why I renamed it, actually, in my bio, Instagram bio. If you go there, you'll see it's mycelium of the psychedelic industry, because people connecting and doing business for me is the greatest joy. I don't care about leveraging those things. I just want us all to connect on a mutual ground and create something beautiful, something that was not there before. And mycelium does that as well. Mycelium just connects. And for example, if one tree needs nutrients, it asks through mycelium to come, like another, please send out anything, and other trees around them send the nutrients to this tree that needs it. So this is how I want us also to operate in the psychedelic space. If I would ask everybody, how can I help you? And then they would tell me, and I would try to find nutrients with another people and send to this person, because I don't believe in competition as well in the psychedelic space. We are all here for the same reason, for the same purpose. And if I see somebody doing similar things as I am, I'm like, okay, let's meet up. Let's share resources. Let's help each other. Let's not replicate the societal behavior that did with other industries, because why should we? Let's create our own values, and let's be mycelium and not, and play together and not against each other.
Yeah, it's really well said. Thank you for doing that. You can almost see the excommunication of competition in the way in which the psychedelic environment is being rolled out. And what I mean by that is, if you look at even at cannabis on some level, like it refused to be monetized. And when people tried to monetize it, it found a way to it didn't work. And the same thing when people try to patent or use these analogs of, you know, like 4-HO-DIP-DORF, you know, all these different analogs that people are putting out there, they kind of get monetized, but not really, you know, and it just seems like there's something bigger at play that's not allowing that to happen. It's like, okay, you can play in this medical container, but it's for everybody. It's right here. It's free. It's kind of beautiful in a way, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that's why actually I decided to work with mushrooms primarily for general public, because mushrooms grow everywhere. Yeah. 215, I think, species all around the world, even in Serbia, like there are like few of native psilocybin mushrooms out. Like if you go to the forest and know what to look for, you will find psilocybin mushrooms. It's easy to grow. It's easily accessible to everybody. It's low cost. So I think that's the tool that anybody can have. Plus, if they educate themselves on preparation, integration, it can change the world. Literally, it can skyrocket us to unimaginable consciousness levels. Without taking them, we can gather these states and learn how to access them even without psychedelics. We can evolve to do that.
Yeah, on some level, I think they're like the training wheels being provided for us. Like, okay, here's the training wheels first. Pretty soon we'll take these off, but you need these to begin to see this stuff, you know. And it's
it's wild. And us talking about it. You know, like animals and plants, they just exist. Mm. They what we perceive so far. They just exist in this state. Maybe they are not aware of their existence, but they just exist and they're okay with it. But you and I, we have the ability to conceptualize this existence and talk about it. And that's mind-blowing if you think about it. Like, we talk about our existence and we don't even understand it, and we don't even we cannot explain it, but we talk about it, you know. Isn't that the most exciting times to live?
It reminds me of a child who can't yet fully form sentences, but they begin to use words. I think that's where we are as a species. Like, we're just beginning to be able, just beginning to communicate meaning to one another. Like, we're just at the beginning of that. But we think we're so advanced, we're just putting sentences together.
But that's the thing.
It's beautiful.
Ego is needed. Ego is very much necessary in this world. So the child, I have a child and my own child. So I see it. Yeah, thank you. I see it on his example. He doesn't understand that he is a separate being, person from me, because his ego is still not formed. And he needs ego in order to survive. And ego is good. Sometimes we mention ego and I'm like, oh, ego is bad. Yeah, ego is a tool. You can use it for bad things, but you can use it also for good things like existence and etc. Anyways, yeah. When I speak, I just sidetracked so many things.
That's all right.
What I wanted to point out here is that yes, our ego makes us think that we are more advanced than we are, makes us empowered to think that we are the higher species or something.
Minor.
Some sound startled me, sorry, yeah. Ego makes us think that we are higher species and then we are more important than everybody else around us, but that is needed for us, for our survival. That is actually needed. But it's good that we have humans like you, like me, like-minded people who understand that we are just babies trying to talk, and we still blabber because we don't really know what's happening. Is it a simulation? Is it a this or that? Or are we collectively a part of a one brain cell of a giant somewhere that's pulsing? Or we don't even know what's happening. Is there like one consciousness, or are there many consciousness and they're brothers and sisters and they communicate? And are there so many possibilities and questions that it's just impossible to fathom with this monkey brain?
Yeah. The story of the ego reminds me of a child beginning to walk. Like, they need their ego. Otherwise they quit trying to walk. Like, you know, like you need that unrealistic set of purpose. It's like, I can do it no matter what, and you're not going to stop me. Like, that's what gets you to that next point. Like, you need that.
Yes.
In some ways, it's exciting to see maybe peak ego happening, because that means that you're at the next stage of a breakthrough. Okay. Yep. Peak ego. Now you got the next one. Now everything falls away. And if you look at all of us, each individual throughout the world as part of one of us, a large part of society, like this, the demographic cliff of a certain age of baby boomers are getting to pass on to whatever comes next. And with them comes a lot of these older ideas that may not be serving us anymore. I'm not saying they're wrong. They were right for the time. But this next evolution is this next phase of people are beginning to move on. And so too does that allow us and the people below us to take that next step into what is possible. And it seems like everything's dying and falling away, but isn't that what birth is on some level? It's if anyone who's ever seen birth knows that death is right there next to it. There's blood and guts, and there's a real possibility the baby doesn't make it. You know, like, birth and death are one and the same, and we're seeing it right now. And I really believe, even though, you know, there's that great saying that says it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And I know it seems dark, but I think if people try to light a candle, they'll see, whoa, we are on the cusp of a magnificent change. Something is being born right now in front of us, and we all can play a part in it if we choose to really embrace it. Is that too optimistic?
So I think what you just described can be applied to any moment in human history and any moment in the future. It's always like something is happening, something is unrolling. I can feel, yes, because it is. We are evolving, and us who are sensitive to that, we can feel what is coming next, and we're excited for that. And I just want to touch back on the ego that you mentioned previously. You said you feel like there is a peak ego, and then you break through it, and there is this state that comes after. But what I want to just shed light on is people who break through their egos on the psychedelic journey sometimes fall into a trap calling, I'm egoless, and I believe in the ultimate good, and I saw things that you didn't, and it's called spiritual ego. It's just a different side of the coin. The thing is, ego will use, ego is very tricky, it's a tool, but it can use you as a tool as well for its existence. And it will mask itself with the material that you provide. The thing is, what we can do the best for our human evolution when it comes to ego, I think it's understand it as a tool and saddle it and ride it. And just use it for existence, use it for driving the sense of purpose, use it for not allowing others to enter your space, personal space, like boundaries. No, this is my space, you know, for existential things. Use it consciously and not see it as something good or bad. When ego peaks, it's just what it happened. When it peaks for the first time, I would say, it just happens that the boiling happens for you to see your ego for the first time. And it enlarges so you can see it for the first time, and once you see it, it pops, but then it starts growing in a different environment. So the thing is, we should just settle our ego as a tool and have it next to us, and not see it as something that should possess us and use different materials to grow and to form in a different way.
It seems to speak to the idea of relationships with ourselves and learning them, and back to the idea of evolving and seeing the world in different ways. And it's mind blowing to me.
Yeah. We have so many parts of ourselves that soul is a tool as well, as I perceive it currently. We have so many parts of ourselves. Mind is also a part. They're all tools. And there is something behind looking what's happening. So when you, I don't know, do you think in images or words? When I talk about things, do you envision them happening, or you just process them in words?
I think I'm more words. Like I think I'm more, even though I can process images faster, I think the way I was brought up and conditioned being a little bit older was more reading and then comprehending. Mm-hmm. Where in today's multimedia world, you know, visual fluency is vastly, vastly more put out there. So
I think maybe
a mix of both, but I think it's more, now it's more towards visual, but I was based on words. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
So, you know, I get so present into conversations and into a present moment that I sometimes forget what I was saying, like what I started talking about. Can you remind me if you remember?
Yeah, we were just talking about the way in which, do you think in language or do you think in words, and how ego
but
was a tool.
That,
and then
before I ask you a question, never mind, it will come up, whatever.
Yeah, it will.
Anyways, yeah, so... I think in visual, I process things visually primarily. Why I wanted to ask. Yeah, I remember now. So when you talk to yourself in words,
mm-hmm.
you hear something in your mind space. But who is hearing that? There is something behind all of that listening to a voice talking. to you talking, if it, that makes sense. And that's called self in psychology, the self. And this self is also a tool of our existence. So the point I want to make, there are so many tools. We just need to point, like see them inside of ourselves and outside and just settle them and use them for evolution and for existence. This was my purpose. And we can continue to talk now about the visual and word thinking, if you like.
Yeah, you know, sometimes this brings up an interesting question. Sometimes in a deep psychedelic experience, you'll be treated to a show of three-dimensional or maybe some four-dimensional tetrahedron or these weird geometrical figures. I always think that there's a language there. And the language that I see is like, wow, look at how this thing connects in all these strange ways. And then that leads me to the idea of, well, how do I connect to these other things in strange ways? But it almost seems like these geometrical images are a language of sorts. You have any thoughts on that?
I would think that they are a different way of communicating, mm-hmm. for sure. Presenting complicated things in a simple way that we can perceive them.
Well, nice. Yeah.
I think that because when I'm on my psychedelic journeys and when I was on my psychedelic journeys before, I would receive so many, I call them messages, many insights. And at that point of time, I could understand them just by looking at these images. But then when I'm not on my journey anymore, I'm like, what just happened? For some journeys, most of the things I cannot even comprehend. Like, it was 100% clear on the journey. Clear. And then after journey, it was like, okay, like, do I understand this? But then after a certain point of time, like 5-10 years passes and a thing from my journey pops up.
Mm-hmm.
It just needed me to evolve to a certain stage to be able to understand the message I got. So currently now I had one ayahuasca experience in my life when I lived through my near-death experience, and I felt like I was being downloaded with a suitcase of things. Even to this day, I am integrating and revealing some of the stuff from my journey, and I don't plan to go on another one because this is, at least not for now, because I still am taking fruits from this one journey I had.
You know, they say inside the acorn lives the mighty oak. And I think of a seed that produces fruit. Like, it's so too is the information that may be given to you in this moment of clarity or in this heightened state of awareness. It's for you to understand. I'm going to show it to you, and then it's going to plant it, and it's going to grow in 25 years.
Wow. Isn't that wild? Isn't that like an alien technology?
It should be in the books. Like, I think that it's a good, that could be a good tool or a good lens through which to understand education on some level. But maybe that's what's happening now. But Melissa, we've blown through an hour already, and I know you've got some more stuff coming up. So this is a really fantastic, fun, engaging in educational conversation. I've appreciated it, and you'll have to come back because it was just like we just scratched the surface of it. So
yes, exactly.
But before
thank
I let
you very go, much
yeah but please take a few moments just to explain to people where they can find you, what you have coming up in the future, and what you're excited about.
So you can find me on either Instagram or themilica.com. Maybe I'm going to send you some links to include with the podcast. But more importantly, where you can find the work I'm doing is at psilocybinsf.com. That is a website. And over there, we have an upcoming conference, November 9th, 10th. We're going to talk about legal access to psilocybin and psilocybin for a specific purpose. Those are going to be two main topics. We expect 1,000 people to come, and we will have many great experts from the industry presenting. It's going to be online. Anybody can access. The tickets are affordable for everybody. That's one thing. And the second thing is, if you're interested about psychedelic industry and who are the players, please do go to bizdelics.com, like business and psychedelics, just bizdelics.com. And over there you can find the list and scroll through it and see if you can find something interesting, or you can contribute in a way. There are trainings as well. You can follow some people if you are interested. And yeah, if you find that appealing, there is also a podcast, Psychedelic Pillow Talk, where we present the humans from the psychedelic realm, showcase who they were in the past lives and who they are currently and what they are doing and what are their lives, what do their lives look like now. And yeah, that's it for now. And I'm very excited to see where the whole industry will take us as a society.
Me too. And I'm stoked you're out there doing what you're doing. And for everybody listening or watching this, the links will be in the show notes. Go down and check them out. Reach out. Check out that free list that she has if you really want to know who's being involved. And if you have something to add, you could be on the list, call her up, reach out to her. And Melissa, please hang on briefly afterwards. I still want to talk to you for just a few short minutes. But to everybody else, I hope you have a beautiful day. I hope you realize that you're part of something bigger than you could possibly imagine, and that there's a little miracle around the corner waiting to happen to you. So that's all we got for today, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you have a beautiful day. Aloha. Aloha, everyone. Thanks for taking a moment to hang out with me in the True Life Podcast. I truly appreciate it. If you're taking some time to listen to this, whether it's your first podcast with me or you've been with me the whole way, I truly want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Additionally, I would like to try to inspire everyone. The world is a crazy place. And if you listen to your heart and you take some chances, I really think the world will unfold in front of you in ways you can't imagine. I've been doing the podcast for about 5 years. Last year, I decided to take the plunge. Well, circumstances dictated that I took the plunge, and I did. I've begun working on the podcast full time for almost a year now, and it's been so rewarding to me that I just want to try and inspire other people. If you have a dream, if you have a vision, follow the voice in your heart, listen to the song on the wind, and embrace the challenge. I think you're strong enough, you're smart enough, and you're good enough to make your dreams come true, but you have to believe in them. And I truly believe wholeheartedly that if you take a chance, a real chance on what is possible, then your dreams will unfold in front of you. Uncertainty can be a monster. It can be something that we run away from. But much like fear, if you stand in front of it, it's not that big of a problem. I know everyone listening to this has a dream and a vision, and I hope you all conquer it. And I want you to know it's possible. Take baby steps and move towards it, and you will get closer to it. Your relationships will be better, your life will be better, and you know what? You deserve it. You're an amazing person. If you get a moment, go down to the show notes. If you can, support the show. Thank you so much for being here. Now let's get to it.